Well, it's about that time. God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Great to see your smiles. So, everybody's got the grin. Yes, yes. So, well, I'm looking forward to this fellowship this morning. We're going to do something kind of different than we usually do on a Sunday service. It's a state of the church, all right? The president usually has a state of the union. And we have the state of the church. So we're going to talk about what we do here at Acts Now Fellowship and talk about some goals and some different activities that we do as Acts Now Fellowship. So we're going to be a little longer than normal probably to cover all these good things. So, but I trust it'll be enlightening. And you're part of what we do. This is our church. We're in the one body of Christ, but we work together as a unit here, and it's a privilege to be able to do that with you. So I'd like to have a word of prayer to open up. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we have to be together. Thank you for this fellowship, for each and every person that's a part of the fellowship, for their heart's desire to be their best for you. You certainly have been your best for us, and we're so grateful for how you've loved us and brought us out of eternal death to eternal life. Amen. And with the love of God that's just out of this world. So we're thankful to be a part of your family, Father, and for the privilege to work together to hold forth the words of life, help others see the light of your love. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Well, there's one thing that really makes it work, and that's the love of God. And I want you to listen to this song. This is Whitney Phipps singing Amazing Love.
Amazing love, how can it be? You broke the chains and set me free. You fill my life with joy untold. You light my spirit, you feed my soul. Now I want the whole world know of all you've done for me. I want to praise your name. Amazing love, how can it be? You sent your son to die for me. He took the pain, carried my shame all the way to Calvary. When I thought I was forever lost, you called my falling soul. Such comfort to my soul. was blind, but now I see, and now I am forever yours. Soon I'll see your face, and I will love you more.
God's love, huh? Yeah, amen. Whew. Well, to help communicate what we do in our ministry, we put together a little threefold brochure. Now, they're spread around, so if you don't have one, there's one there. We have extras around. So if you need one, raise your hand. We've got plenty of them. So... but take a look at it, if you would, and open it up where it says, Welcome to Acts Now Fellowship. Thank you for visiting us. Your spiritual journey is important. We want to help you to know our Heavenly Father and realize all the good things He has for you. We are a Spirit-filled fellowship that manifests the power of God. That's a little bit about us. Now, our mission is to equip believers by providing a loving community in which to grow by the preaching of the gospel, by teaching regarding our Lord Jesus Christ, and by demonstration of the Spirit of God. Sound good? Good mission, huh? Yeah, amen. So you can see on the back side here is our information about the fellowships, in-person fellowships, okay? And, you know, I'm thankful for what we do. We're going to talk about some goals here, and the main goal that we're going to talk about here in a moment will be growing our church, growing our church. There's a lot of empty seats here that need hungry souls in them. And so we've got some thoughts and ideas that we're going to pass along, help fill those up, all right? But you know, I'm thankful that we're not just a Sunday group. You know, a lot of churches, they do a great Sunday performance, but we're all week long. And I'm thankful that we have home fellowships, you know, the Segovias, what you guys do, wonderful. You guys up in Escondido, Ralph and Sandy, and we've got even Monday nights, every other Monday night in Lemon Grove with Daniel Woods. So, and then we have our Wednesday fellowship in Point Loma. So those home fellowships are golden. And that's where I think a lot of the heart of learning and growing takes place. Well, there's some more information in this little brochure here. And you can see the teaching and fellowship resources. And I've pretty much mentioned that. Now, we do have YouTube fellowship. In other words, a lot of our teachings go on YouTube. We're doing Facebook Live. Welcome you folks that are here with us, Facebook Live. And then it'll go on YouTube. And, of course, you just got to search Acts Now Fellowship to find those teachings. And then we have our website. In our website, we have a lot of teachings. We have a foundational Bible class that's outstanding. So a lot of great resources on there. And then we have newsletters. And then Tuesday night's a special night. And I don't know how many of you get involved Tuesday nights, because a number of you. Barney Barnhart in Norman, Oklahoma, plays the Ken Petty Seminar broadcast. And they have a bunch of people calling them from around the country to be a part of that. So wonderful resources I'm thankful that we have in our ministry. Not only a Sunday fellowship, home fellowships, but all these other ones that I've mentioned to you. And then we have an outreach and support programs. And before I mention the top two here, let me start from the bottom up, okay? So we have our website. I've mentioned that already. Special events. We're doing one next weekend. So looking forward to that. If you haven't registered for that, you want to be a part of that, let me know. We've got the registration forms on the welcome table. That'll be a fantastic time of learning and growing with Jan Majera and friends. And then Gina Meldrum will be here to provide music along with our Agape Now band. So we're doing also I'm doing announcements already. We're going to be doing a concert Saturday night, next Saturday night at 7:30. So this will be a great opportunity to bring new people. And I've got, there's a purple handout there, a form that describes the event. But pretty much, you know, it's going to be Saturday night, 7:30 here. You know, Jeannie had a good idea with, because we only have a few of the handouts. You can take a picture of it, and then you can send it to other folks, which is a kind of a neat idea. So that's next weekend. And then, of course, the following Saturday, the 27th, is the Victory Concert. Again, there's some information back there about that event. And so we'll be with a number of different groups of fellowship up in Vista. And the Agape Now band will be performing along with a bunch of other wonderful saints. So you definitely want to be there for that. The next Sunday, the 28th, which is 2 weeks from today, we will not have a fellowship here, okay? There'll be no fellowship that Sunday. So you can still pray and talk to God, read your Bible, all right? You should be okay. All right. Bookstore resources. Of course, we have Speaking in Tongues book, the booklets. Barney just published a book on Chosen Gems. So if you haven't seen that or heard about that, you want to check it out. And you can go on Amazon, I think, and find it there. So it's chock full of great sayings, poems, insights, all kinds of neat things that'll really refresh your spiritual soul. Okay? So let's see. Agape Now Outreach Saturday. We had a great time yesterday at Agape Now Outreach in Old Town. Daniel and Charlie and Jeannie and I. You just never know. Every time there's something new happens. We had some excitement. We had to call 911. The devil started kicking up his heel to interrupt things, but we got it taken care of. God takes care of us. So when you're on the front line, sometimes things get interesting. Now, let me share about, I want Ray and Gail Braska are very keen on the work in Japan. So that's an outreach country there that they have been working for a number of years and still do. So we're going to have a gentleman visit us October 5th, if I got the date correct, that will be sharing about outreach not only in Japan that he's been a part of, but even in Africa. So that's John, is it John Dowdle? Joe Dowdle. You might know the Dowdles from Tucson, Arizona, where this is their son. So he'll be teaching and sharing about that October 5th. Then in Kenya, we have our Anthony Sakwa. That guy is so... They just finished a couples seminar this weekend, and we had the opportunity to... Can you hand me my phone? We had the opportunity to send some information. He always says, hey, do you have some teachings on marriage and this sort of thing? So Jeannie and I sent some things, and I was inspired to send him the Salt Covenant. And I think many of you are aware that a lot of our, when we do some wedding ceremonies, we'll do the Salt Covenant to make that commitment. And so this is what he said about that. So this is just came in this morning. He said, we had a very powerful conclusion of our couple seminar by doing Salt Covenant, and everybody was very much grateful for that idea. We had never done it before. It's our first time, and we really embraced it. God bless you so much. We finished it by doing the Lord's table, and we are blessed, and the seminar was much fruitful. He sends his love and prayers to all of us. In fact, he put together a little recording that I'd like to play for you that I asked him to share about our connection and how we work with Anthony Sakwa in Kenya. Click on that that little speaker thing there. Click on that little the little speaker below his name. That should come up. Go to PowerPoint. You're right there now. Okay. It goes back. Okay. We've got a well, we'll play it another time for sure. It's not functioning. All right. No. If I had my iPad, I might be able to. But. Also, we do have a recording also. Why don't you check Barney's? Because Barney and Vicki sent a greeting from Norman, Oklahoma. Actually, they're... When he made this, they were in Washington, D.C. They're on a trip. They went to Washington, D.C. They went to the Museum of the Bible. And they're down in North Carolina. And they're with Joe and Jeanette Evans. They just passed Greenville, North Carolina, the home of East Carolina University, the Pirates. That's where I went to college. That's where I got into the Word. That's started my spiritual journey. So let's see if we can get Barney... his recording. They're not, that's not happening, huh? Okay. Say again. No, I put it on a PowerPoint.
Turn that up real loud. I want to thank God because of the
as loud as you can get it.
Given to me to share my love and my joy for working with the Acts Now Fellowship. I thank God for my brother Bob Lindfeld. Since the time we knew each other in the year 2017 up to today, we have done very many things magnificently. The Holy Spirit have really energized and ignited love and joy into the hearts of many people that we share, we love, and we actually work together. In the year 2017, when Brother Bob Lindfeld introduced a book, Speaking in Tongues, to me, the benefits and the importance of speaking in tongues, and ever since, I have shared with very many people, including the refugee camps in Nyarugusu in Tanzania and in Kakuma in northern part of Kenya. Ever since we began working together and sharing the love of God together, I have seen God doing things, wonderful things. Ever since that day up to today, our church has grown big. We have also opened another 5 branches that are doing very well and are doing very good. Also, Acts Now Fellowship has really supported us financially. They have helped us also to construct a very powerful and wonderful church, a beautiful church within our community that is actually bringing many souls to God and to Christ. We are doing evangelism, we are doing outreaches in the youths, women, and corporals conferences that are bringing change into the lives of people. Acts Now Fellowship also have helped us to buy a car that is helping us in mission work and in the ministry work. We also thank them so much and we really appreciate their work. I also want to thank the Acts Now Fellowship through our brother Bob Lindfeld. I have supported a young girl who is an orphan from high school, and now she's joining a college nursing that she's doing great, and the family is very happy, and the family, through that, the family has got saved. We really appreciate so much. At this time, as you celebrate the state of the church, we really send our greetings, our love, and our joy to you all. And we are also happy working together with Acts Now Fellowship, and we promise that through God's love and through God's joy, we'll continue to serve God and continue to work together to bring the love of God and the joy of God into the hearts of people. May the Almighty God bless you all. May the Almighty God bless the family of Acts Now Fellowship. God bless you so much. Bye-bye. God bless you.
Yeah. And then we have a report from Barney and Vicki Barnhart. So let's see if we can get them.
All right, well, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, Barney and Vicki here. Actually, we are in Washington, D.C. for a visit. Today, Joe Evans and myself attended a pastor's conference hosted by Wall Builders, which was really quite a, I would say, vision-building opportunity to meet with different groups of people. We heard from a number of congressmen and senators and the leaders kind of Wall Builders. Dave Barton and his son Tim are just so knowledgeable about American Christian history, and I think it really helps to give us a greater vision of our role as Christian believers in the country and how we can really affect the culture that we're in. And I'm thinking about a verse in Proverbs 29 verse 18 where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then it goes on to say, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. And, you know, without a clear vision or a purpose, the general result is that people can become unengaged and apathetic, and can really cause a community of believers or an organization to become stagnant and not really feel like they're finding their way. I'm really encouraging all of us, including myself, and others that I meet, that we pray to God for a clearer vision for our purposes in this year coming up as a ministry, Acts Now Fellowship. And so, you know, there's so many verses that talk about our role as believers and what we can accomplish in prayer. Just not that you have to go there, but in looking at the verse in Matthew that Jesus talked about, he said, whatsoever things you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. How about Philippians chapter 4? I love that section of the Bible, don't you? Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 6, I think probably each and every one of us could memorize that and say it, because we've said it so many different times. But the King James reads, be careful for nothing. And other translations say, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And of course, that famous section in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it talks about rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I think this is a great time for us to get maybe more focused on individual prayers, not just generalized prayers, but prayers to God for our specific purpose. What God has in mind for us as avenues to serve and to, you know, kind of fulfill our Christian calling. Because each and every one of us, as you've seen from some of the things that Bob has shared or will share, besides the activities of the ministry, each and every one of us in our day-to-day living have purposes, and God can give us doors of opportunity to really be the most effective. And, you know, this has been a wonderful opportunity here for us today in Washington, D.C. to really get a greater picture of not only our government and to visit some of the government buildings and that sort of thing, but I think just to see a greater vision of our impact, the kind of impact we can have as just Christian believers on our culture and everyday life. And I know one of the things that was instituted recently, actually on Monday when we were visiting a museum here in Washington called the Museum of the Bible, there was an initiative introduced by the president called America Prays. And I thought, this is just so awesome that we can use that lever of prayer to for our country, our government, our leadership, and for specific situations that each and every one of us are involved in. And I think that's my prayer and Vicky's prayer as well, is that each and every one of us would just be the most effective we could possibly be in the work of God, whatever that looks like. Because for every different person, that looks different. And, you know, as the days move on, maybe there will be more opportunities for us to know the details about America Prays in advance of the 250th anniversary of the United States. And you're a vital member of the body of Christ. You're a citizen of one of the greatest countries, if not the greatest country in the world today. And so my encouragement to you from this day forward is to make a concentrated effort to be specific and pray for the things that are impossible, things that you cannot bring to pass yourself, because God is the God of the impossible. Amen. So Vicki's got some things in her heart she wants to share.
Well, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about since Barney and I talked about this is to be able to continue to serve in the body of Christ among the people that you minister to and that you fellowship with. You know, remember in the Gospels that Jesus Christ said that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love each other. And I see some really great things happening when that kind of unconditional love is happening in the body of Christ, where it's not about me and what I can do or what I get. It's about who I can give to. How can I grow so that I can help someone else grow in God's word? And we know it's all focused around the word of God and the love of God. So I was looking at these verses in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." And sometimes I think we get too concerned about what we're getting. Well, what am I getting out of this? You know, it's frustrating. This isn't happening. That isn't happening. But God says that what we sow, we reap. So we have to take our mind from the disillusion that we go through sometimes and put it right back on God's word. Okay? That is a very important part of this. Because if we sow to the flesh, if we continue to let disappointments or frustrations be the thing we focus on, we're not going to be sowing to the Spirit. And sowing to the Spirit, it says in verse 7, is like the Spirit reaping everlasting life. In verse 9, it says, "And let us not grow weary." And that's another thing, and that's why I think what Barney shared about prayer is when you start getting weary, or when we start thinking, well, why am I even here? What am I even doing? You know, we need to stop and we need to go to God and ask God, "God, re-show me, re-teach me what I know you've already said to me so that I can get myself back with you." And then the service to the body of Christ and to each other comes naturally. It's just something that's in our heart. And so in verse 10 it says, after "let us not grow weary in verse 9, for in due season," here's a promise, "we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And that's part of the major thing, I think, is we have to keep our hearts locked in with God. And we do that by taking our thoughts that maybe aren't lined up with God and line them up with God, and then our heart begins to feel the power of God, that Spirit of God in Christ in us. So I think that's a really important verse to remember. "Let us not grow weary while well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, because we can reap, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." You know, one of the great things about this ministry, when I first got involved in 1975, the thing that drew me wasn't because I was hungry for the word, or I loved God, I'd been a Christian all my life, but I felt the love. I saw this love among these people that was unconditional. And they were there to minister that love and the path of God's word to that love to anybody that came to fellowship. And it wasn't fake. It wasn't, you know, "Well, God bless, glad you're here, see you later." No, it was like, "How are you? What can I do for you?" You know, it's that unconditional love of God that operates in us, that we can allow God to show us exactly what that person needs. exactly what that situation needs. And we can be those ambassadors for God and share His word and see people delivered. And really, when we start looking to help others and we see that deliverance in somebody else's life, man, doesn't that just make your heart jump? I know we've all done it. So I really think that it's important to continue to not get weary in well-doing, to not lose heart because something's not working exactly like we want it to in the moment. Continue to go to God in prayer like Barney talked about. Continue to go to His Word and look for the answers that are going to really make changes in your heart so you can reach that love of God out and help other people make changes in their heart as they get to know God better.
Yeah, thank you, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, we are going to sign off from Washington, D.C. We love you guys and yep. Look forward to our next times together. We know you guys are blessed and things are going well there.
Yeah.
And so anyway, God bless you.
God bless. We love you guys.
All right.
Bye-bye, guys.
Great stuff. Yeah, we're going to be talking about prayer because that's going to be a key component for us to really move with the goals that we want to set in our ministry. Well, there's a person that is so essential to the work of the ministry that without her, I don't know where we would be. I don't know where I would be. But my wife, Jeannie, does so much. And she's gonna share some of the things that she does to let you know what happens with the finances, the prayer team, and all the other things. If you shared everything we did, you'd be here for hours.
Yeah. But really, it's what God does, because we're just instruments for Him. Our ministry is different because it's not about coming on Sunday, but it's developing a relationship. And so many of you here, we've had decades of fellowship together. If you go to some of the other churches, it's like, oh, I'm glad Mr. Jones showed up today. But it's a family that we're working with. And Acts 2:46 and 47 is kind of a pattern of what our fellowships are all about. And it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. And that's God's plan, that we fellowship together, that we are a family. So many people feel like they're lonely. But in fact, if you just look around and there's believers all around that we need to meet and bless. So I have the privilege of sharing the financial report. And I have worked in accounting my whole life, and I have to say, this is the greatest business I've ever worked for, because it's God's business, and the budget is always by need. When there's a need, God provides. I can't sit down and say, okay, we got this and this and this, and here's your bottom line. Because the bottom line's not important. The top line is important, that we give, and then we allow God to bless what we give. We use, if you haven't, no, don't know this, we use a horn of plenty for our giving. And the reason for that is what we give is in this little bit here. And what opens up is what God provides for us. So we can never outgive God. And our limitation is, how much do you want to be blessed? So with that in mind, our average income for the abundant sharing for the year is about $100,000. We have maybe about 40 faithful people that give. We have, whenever there's a need, there's a check that comes through. About half of those people are here, and half are from all over the country. And it's just really exciting to see how God provides. Like Anthony, this week he asked for $350 to feed the couples at the marriage seminar. And of course, we sent it. And look how blessed they got. You never know. And PayPal helps a lot in getting those things done quickly. But the breakdown of where it comes right now, the need is for minister support, about 45%. Outreach in Kenya, Japan, Agape Now is about 15% of the expenses that we have. Our fellowship expense, hall rental, refreshments is about 15%. Now, the grace of God is pretty amazing in this beautiful church that we are a part of. Most churches have a building with brick or whatever that they pay a mortgage on. They pay utilities, taxes. We pay $50 an hour to rent this hall. We come in, we have the chairs here, we have the electricity on, and you can't find that anywhere. We walk out and we're done. We do pay insurance to cover any accidents that happen, but you know, it's truly remarkable. We have no debt. Most businesses have a debt. We owe nothing, and God just provides. We have about 10% of the income goes to widows' needs and believers' needs. Seminar expenses, we spend about 10%. Administrative brochures, ink for our newsletters, all this stuff is about 2.5%, and our website's about 2.5%. So the percentages change as the need changes, and we're just so thankful for all of your lives, because if you weren't here, God couldn't work. So as we give, and each one of us, as we sow, God provides. And I think I see more and more that it's a matter of what is our perspective of what the Father can do for us. Because he's not just a practical Father and you say, okay, Dad, I need gas for my car today. He wants to bless you exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. My grandson's sixth birthday will be in November, and we are FaceTiming, and Susie said, well, tell Grandma what you want for your birthday. He goes, a Lamborghini. I go, hopefully it's a remote. Yeah, a little Tonka toy. You know, why not? Of course, yeah, dream big. And that's really, we don't want him to give us just our daily bread. We want it to give us so that we can bless others.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about. So another thing I wanted to share with is our prayer ministry. That's pretty phenomenal what God has done. We have about 40 people in our prayer intercessors, and we are always blessed to have more. Someone told us the other day that he gets so blessed. He says it's a privilege being a prayer minister, because every time he prays for someone, he gets healed. And that's what life's all about. As we give, God will just provide. So the more we can give, I love it when I see needs. It's like, okay, let me open my pocketbook. Whatever it is, because I know God's going to provide and bless. So the prayer ministry is pretty substantial to the growth of the ministry, and as we are hearing more, what is the growth? How does growth come? But by prayer and fellowship with the Father and fellowship with one another. And the heart of our ministry started with home fellowships, and this is really a home fellowship. It's just a little bigger home. But if you have the desire to open up your home and have a fellowship, praise God. Let's do it. The more we can open our hearts and lives, spend that time loving people, we will see the increase. Our Agape Now, of course, Bob talks about quite often is we never know what's going to happen, but people come and they want to pray for us because they're so thankful for what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's just remarkable. Here to have a Sunday morning fellowship, we have a welcoming committee. We have our welcome table, and we want to have people there to greet new people. And then maybe someone that wants to follow up when they come to tell them what's next. Follow me. So that's always an area to give in. We have the audiovisual. We have our website maintenance, administration. If you have the desire to type and want to help us, sometimes we put this brochure together the other day. Bob and my, our computer whiz not abilities, but it looks pretty good. It took a while, but God provides. But here we need things to show people that we do exist. The hospitality. Refreshments are important because it allows us to fellowship together, to stay and not to run out and see who can get out of the parking lot fast enough. Well, we don't have a parking lot, so you don't have to worry about that, but that can happen. So that's always available. It's available for someone who wants to coordinate that. And then correspondence. We do have a need for someone to help send out birthday cards and anniversary cards and maybe get well cards. So if that's something you'd be blessed to do, please let us know. But so many areas, if you let God work with you and say, okay, I'm free, this is what can I do for the ministry, for God's business, because you will be blessed. And then I think that was what I was going to share, but I just wanted to thank you for being a part of our lives, because each one of you, we have a story in our minds and hearts of just how good God has been and how faithful you have been. So God bless you.
Thank you. Wow. You know, when it comes to reaching out to people, last Sunday I shared about making disciples, right? And hopefully there were some good practical things that you learned, and you learned that this is what God wants us to do. This is our job. And I know we shared quite a bit. So on the welcome table, along with all the other things I've mentioned, there's some notes on the four keys on making disciples, okay? So you'll want to check that out. But boy, when it comes to reaching out to people, we're not ashamed, are we? We're so thankful that we're born again of God's Spirit. We have Christ in us. We know the Word of God. And so we don't have a problem talking with people. We're not ashamed at all. There's a wonderful song I want to play for us along that title. And I know we've been talking here quite a bit, and you guys have been hanging in there real well. We're going to have manifestations afterwards, and I'm going to share a little bit of God's Word, a short teaching with you. So, but why don't you stand up and stretch a little bit? We'll play this song, listen, and enjoy.
will stand for you. I'll tell the whole world about you. I'm unashamed.
Wow. All right. All right. Please be seated. Let's hear from our Heavenly Father, okay? Yeah. Okay. Well, I would like Shelley Stork to have a word of prophecy, if you would, please.
Know this day, my children, that you do stand before me, and I am filled with great love and compassion for you. You are my children. You have my seed within you, and you stand before me righteous in Christ. Know, my children, that I do love you, that there is nothing I won't do for you according to my word. So stand boldly, stand strong, knowing that your Father loves you, that there is nothing that could ever separate us. Know that you and I will stand together, that we can walk through eternity hand in hand.
Wow. Great expectations. Could you give that to Bob McCall? Bob's back from Pennsylvania. Bless your heart. Great to have you back, sir. Word of prophecy.
Hearken to my word, my children, for it was my word that created everything that exists. It was my word that I promised you the more than abundant life. And I, through my word that I gave you my son, Jesus Christ, to pay for that abundant life and to pay for all the stuff that happened before, which is wiped away. And I'm looking forward to having you together with me and my son throughout eternity in our great paradise together.
Wow. Thank you, Father, for your exhortation, for your love that you continue to shower upon us, and you remind us through these manifestations. We are just in awe how much you care for us, and what a privilege we have to be your kids and to be able to do your business. Thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, well, let's get into the word a little bit here. We're going to go to the book of James. If you want to take your Bibles there, this is going to be a little short teaching. As I said last week, I shared with you some practical things that Jesus Christ taught his disciples on making other disciples. And he worked generally with 12 guys, and look what happened. There's billions of Christians as a result, as the years went by. But there's another key that I feel that we can really lock into that will make a difference. Our goal is to grow the church. Let's fill these chairs up. Let's get a vision in our mind as we pray for the growth of the church, that we fill these chairs up. Yeah, I know that, you know, it's not about quantity. It's about quality. And yet, if you've got quality, then quantity is going to come. Why not? Why not? Why wouldn't people want to be drawn to the greatness and accuracy of God's word? But what it's going to take is prayer. Prayer is a huge key to get things done. It's what God has asked his children, his people to do, to reach up to him, to get him to work for his people. Pray. We pray. And God acts. The mighty arm of God acts when we take the action to ask. We've got to ask. I was real blessed with what Barney shared, the importance of prayer. You know, we want to pray. We want to do the impossible, because we have a God that does the impossible. So we can have great expectations as we look to him. So there are four essentials to prayer in this section that I'm going to share with you in the book of James. And I've taken some notes here from a wonderful teaching by Dr. David Gibbs on the four essentials of prayer. And I would encourage you to go to YouTube, look up Dr. David Gibbs and four essentials to prayer. And you'll see this teaching. I'm just summarizing some key points for you. But let's take a look at chapter 5, book of James. And it says here, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for the another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We're going to see four keys here, okay? And I think you're seeing some key words that are essential in results to prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed how? Earnestly, that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth the fruit. Great example of praying with earnest. Now, number one, and I do have a slide on this, on the four essentials to prayer. Number one, pray specifically. Be specific in your prayer. So many times we just generalize our desires. Bless me, Father, please. Well, what do you want him to bless you with? Get specific. And I think a very important key here in being specific in your prayer life, have a prayer list. Have a list. Are you specific with your prayers? Well, put it on a list. I encourage everybody to have a prayer list. And I know people that have great success in the results of prayer in their life. I bet they have prayer lists. Because they're specific. They're specific in what they're asking for. You have not because you ask not. Yes. So we ask. We're specific in what we ask for in our prayer life. You know, the most powerful thing in the universe is prayer. The most powerful thing in the universe is prayer. God moves when we pray and believe in the prayer that we're asking him, right? Man, you want to see the power of God in your life? Ask him. Be specific what you want to see in your life that he can do for you. Be specific. Pray without ceasing. Barney shared that in, I think, 1 Thessalonians. Pray without ceasing. So we want to do that. We want to be specific, first and foremost, right? Yep. You know, some people think, well, prayer is, why do you have to ask God for things? I mean, he knows what you need, and why do you pray? Do we need to pray all the time? Yes. There's a guy by the name of Jesus Christ. You heard of him? Did he pray a lot? Yes. One Bible scholar says there's some 45 records of Jesus praying in the Bible. He's praying all the time. He's going to the Father. So some people think, well, I don't need to pray. Jesus prayed. There's someone you'd think that didn't need to pray. It would be the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed a lot. Great example. And he was specific in what he prayed for. Well, number two, not on the PowerPoint? Okay, that's all right. I was hoping to have the list for you, but you'll remember this. What's the first one? Be specific. All right, number two, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. We saw that, right? Elijah was a man subject to like passions. What does that mean? He was subject to like passions. He was just like us. Do you worry? Do you have fear sometimes? Do you question, am I believing big enough? Yes. Yes, we go through this. Elijah, same thing. Sometimes we think these guys, if they're in the Bible, well, they were just perfect. No way. God's word wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. Elijah was a man subject to like passions, as we are. And yet, he prayed how? Earnestly. He got into it. It wasn't a quick little, help me, Father, and off you go, and you're thinking about the football game. No, he got into it. We got to get into our prayers. We got to get into our prayers. He was earnest, and he didn't pray for 3 years and a bunch of months, huh? There, when we were in Boston a number of years ago, we had the opportunity to work with quite a few believers, and there was a community of the Spanish-speaking believers in Boston. There were about, I don't know, 30 or 40 of them, and they had several fellowships. And so we would go visit them. I love those guys, because they were of all the different fellowships and groups, they saw a lot of miracles. They saw the power of prayer being answered. And they would have a fellowship, and they would call it the Hour of Prayer. So I visited their fellowship, the Hour of Prayer. Guess how long we prayed? An hour. It just wasn't a title for a period of time. Man, oh man, they just prayed and prayed. They just were so earnest. They were into it. But they got results because they were into it. They were passionate about what they were praying for. Oh my gosh, they were so neat. You know, the Bible has some great examples of people that prayed earnestly. Remember Hannah? What did Hannah want so bad? A son. And so she went to the temple, and she was so earnest in it. What did the church leaders think was going on? She was drunk. She was so into it that they thought she was drunk. Did she get an answer to prayer? You bet. Yep, she did. So we want to be specific. We want to pray earnestly. And number three, get clean. Now, what do I mean about getting clean? All right, well, let's go back to that verse in James, right? It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a what? Righteous man. Oh, there we go. There we go. Get clean. Got to be clean, righteous. If you're feeling condemnation in your life, if you feel like haven't arrived, or you feel down and out, you're limiting yourself. So what can you do about it? Are you going to stay stuck? No. God has designed something for us to get back into the saddle, so to speak, of being clean and right before him. What do you think that is? Forgiveness, right? 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you feel down and out, you feel you have shortcomings in your life, just say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me, I've messed up. I want to be back in the saddle. Guess what? Will he do it? Yes, it's a promise in God's word. And by the way, what's your identity? Who are you anyway? You're a son of God. You have the righteousness of God in you, right? Oh my gosh, yeah, you got to think who you are, what the word says you are. And you start thinking like that, and you just stay clean with that righteous feeling, it's going to help your prayer life tremendously. Big time. Big time. Yeah, that's huge. Well, the fourth part, persist. Be persistent. We don't just take a minute or two to pray, but we've put some time into it, right? We persist. We stay with it. We stay with it. We don't give up on it. There's two parables in the Bible that teaches this great principle about persisting. I don't know if you remember about the unrighteous judge and the widow that came, and she had a need, and rightfully so. She went to the judge to get things taken care of, and the word says he was a bad judge. But what did she do? She persisted. And what did the judge say? He said, oh my gosh, this lady's driving me nuts. I'm going to grant her a wish and get rid of her. I mean, that's persistence, isn't it? She persisted. There's another parable about a guest coming to the house late at night, and people are trying to, you know, it's late. They knock on the door. Hey, can you help me out? So, hey, I don't have it. I'm going to my neighbor, get some help. Knock on the door. Hey, it's too late. We're all asleep here. Did he leave? No. He kept knocking on the door until he could get what he needed. Persistence. Persistence. Elijah, fantastic man of God. He prayed, it stopped raining for a few years, right? Then God said, okay, now I want it to rain. You need to pray for rain. So what happened? Well, it's not in the record in James, but if we go back to the Old Testament, we would find out that he prayed and he sent his servant out to see if there's some rain clouds coming. So he prayed, he sent his servant out. What did the servant say? No, it's not. No, I don't see anything, boss. Did he quit? He prayed again. Second time. Go out there and check, see if we got some rain clouds coming. Comes back. No rain clouds. Well, I don't know if this is going to work here. No. Elijah prayed again. Three times. Sent his servant out. Did it rain? No. How many times did he send the servant out until it started to rain? Seven times. Now that's persistence. You're not getting an answer to prayer. Don't stop. Be persistent. Stay with it. I'm asking you all of us, to pray for the growth of the church. Okay? Let's fill these chairs up. And let's don't stop praying for that. We're specific, right? We're specific on this. We're earnest. We're passionate about it. We want to help people. We've got a product that's out of this world. It's God Almighty and the greatness and accuracy of his word. Yeah. We're clean. We're righteous. We're cool. And we're going to be persistent, right? Are we going to be persistent? Yes. Let's be persistent in our prayers. Wow. Well, that's it. That's the simple key. Those four essentials to prayer. And we can do that. God will answer our prayers, and we can have great expectation. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you that we have you as a Father that loves us and wants to give to us more than we want to receive. So we do ask you, Father, for the growth of the church here, for hungry souls. You do give the increase. So, Father, I pray that you work with us to sow your word, the water, knowing that you will just fill these seats up with hungry souls. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 You know, we're going to play a song to close out here. And thanks for hanging in there. I know we went quite a bit longer than we normally do, but You guys are great. You're wonderful. We're going to close out with this song. It's a great one. And if we can help somebody, we'll do it, okay? This is Phipps.
Can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he is traveling wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not in vain. Oh, my living shall not be in vain. If I can help somebody as I pass along, then my living shall not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring back beauty to a world that's wrought, if I can spread God's message as the Master taught, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain. Oh,
fill this church up, huh? All right. God bless you. Have a great week.